Hello and welcome to the Upgrade School Marketing Podcast. I am Matt Soule. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications at Chapel Hill Chauncey Hall School.
And I'm Angie Ward. I'm the founder of Enroll Media Group, a digital marketing agency for schools. How's it going, Matt?
It is going well. Springtime, and we're busy. We're busy and doing well, as I'm sure anyone working in schools right now is. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Yeah, busy. I mean, I love busy, but it's extra busy right now for the independent school space. I mean, you know, you guys have so many events happening in the spring and then planning for the new academic year. So it's sort of, it's that transition period for a lot of schools, planning ahead, new beginnings, and kind of sending off their students on graduation soon.
True. And in the theme of planning ahead and storytelling, we have a really great talk today with Lisa Leidy. And we're going to talk all about persona-based storytelling. And she has really developed a great six-step plan to work, a school can work right through and can go through and figure out exactly the personas of the families that are looking for you, and then turn that into storytelling that will reach them exactly. And one extra plug I want to make is that we have on the show notes, we have a worksheet that Lisa gave us that people can download and actually work through. So go to the show notes, wherever you're listening to this, go to upgradeschoolmarketing.com and go to this episode, and you will be able to download that and you can work through that. Check it out during the episode, and you can download it and use it and build your own personas on your own.
Yeah. So Lisa is great. I'm so excited for this conversation with her. Some background on her, Lisa Leidy, she's an agency principal at Square Spot Design, a creative agency focused on working solely with clients in the nonprofit sector. They work with a ton of independent schools. She's been developing creative strategies for them since 2003. Her expertise is really in helping mission-driven organizations find their authentic voice as a foundation for impactful communications. So let's jump into our conversation with Lisa.
Hello and welcome, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Matt?
Doing really well. We just saw you not too long ago in Birmingham at the Small Boarding School Conference. How was that? Indian Spring School. How was your SBSA experience?
SBSA was fantastic. I think what was really helpful was that we had a great host school and we had fantastic warm weather. So those of us traveling from New England states got to actually stay outside without a coat, which was made for a good time.
It was very nice. I agree.
I know you're on the board of SBSA, but I would just say, as somebody who's gone for a few years, I would highly recommend anybody at a small boarding school. What are the requirements? Is it 200 students or less as a requirement to be considered to be in that grouping, right?
Oh, I love this plug for Small Boarding School Association. Yeah. So the requirements are a little bit looser than that. So it's approximately 225 boarders or less.
Okay.
So your school can have more than 225 students. It's your boarding population needs to be approximately under that threshold.
That's awesome. So yeah, yes. So I would say anybody who works in a school that is in that category, that you're applicable for that. Yeah, you get to go to it's hosted at another boarding school over their spring break. So you get days at their school. The conference presentations are amazing. It's like, it's the best conference going. So let's plug SBSA. California next year?
California next year, hosted at Woodside Priory School in California.
Awesome. All right. SBSA. Come on. But thank you for today, for joining us. It's not all about SBSA, but it's about persona-based storytelling, which you actually presented on. And lots of people were talking about how great it was. And we wanted to talk to you about it and outline the system you have. So you've really come up with a system of persona-based storytelling that talks about the storytelling and six specific steps that schools can go through to find their personas and connect that. So first, I just wanted to just give a quick overview to someone who has not heard of it. What is persona-based storytelling?
So in enrollment, communication and marketing, enrollment customer personas, they're basically semi-fictional characters that align with who you would consider to be your best fit families. So we're basically creating a target audience based on known factors or understood factors, so that when we're creating storytelling, we are resonating as directly as we can with those who we want to connect with.
Okay, great. And why should schools specifically consider persona-based storytelling as part of their enrollment marketing strategy?
So the goal when it comes to marketing, the goal for any school is to try to figure out what their differentiators are. And what we found is that unless you're a school that has like you are set up with some great geographic location, say you're set on a lake and you have an amazing sailing team, or you're in close proximity to maybe a city where you can have educational opportunities with higher ed institutions, that many schools, when it comes to trying to determine what their differentiators are, they're spinning their wheels, they're coming up with ideas, and when you break it down, they're not truly differentiators. They're kind of they're part of what builds an independent school, which is common among many schools. So if schools can instead rely on storytelling and persona-based storytelling, right? So targeted to those who will resonate most with the message. What that means is that the story at every school is unique. The experiences are unique. And if we rely on those who are our best brand ambassadors, those are the people who already love our school, to be the foundation of these stories, now we're talking about differentiators. No two stories are going to be the same between one school and the other.
And I liked in your presentation, you had a stat in there of stories being 20 times more memorable than statistics, which I also think is funny that it's a statistic that is telling you that. But that is also, so not only are you differentiating yourself, but you're actually creating something that when family, I think about it a lot when families are visiting a lot of different schools. And whenever you've done anything and you do a lot of, if you're car shopping or you're going and you're going seeing houses or, you're doing these things, a lot of stuff starts to blur together when, especially stats, and you start to even forget like what was the one that said that they do this. But to me, the stories, when you have really compelling stories that stand out, that's a real important thing for a school to have when they're blurring a lot of things together and like, oh, that's the school where that parent told that story about this. So have you seen that's a really big impact for schools too, is not just standing out but being memorable?
Absolutely. I mean, I think as educators at schools, that we understand that people process information differently. And the one common denominator is that we all kind of process stories the same way, and we internalize them based on our own personal experiences. So that's why they stick. And so you're talking about kind of families traveling from school to school to school, having these experiences and taking in all this information. When we do focus groups with current families and ask them what it was about the school that attracted them, they talk about that gut feeling, and they talk about the stories that were told on the school tour, on the student panels. It's the experiences of the current students that drove their decision and created that gut intuition about the school.
That's great. And similar when you're talking about people visiting and seeing a lot of different schools, a lot of school marketing is done from looking at other schools. And you go to these conferences and you hear what other schools do and you do that. But one of the things I've found the most valuable is looking outside of schools. So do you have any in the storytelling realm, any businesses that you look to kind of get models of storytelling from?
Absolutely. There are two, and I often preface this by saying that I understand that school marketing budgets don't match the marketing budgets of these two companies, but the foundation of their marketing is something that we can mimic and lean on as schools. But it's the two companies are Airbnb and Apple. And so these are two companies that have built their entire brand on storytelling. If you look back at ads, pretty much any ad for Airbnb doesn't talk about how to rent the house or how many apartments are rented per year, right? So we're not talking about stats. All of those ads are about families and individuals having experiences. They're living in a city, and that's the basis for their brand. If you there's some really great information if anyone wants to go down the rabbit hole of kind of how Airbnb established their brand, and this was intentional from the beginning. And same thing with Apple. Steve Jobs started from the beginning talking about how Apple was going to change people's lives. There are sometimes details about functionality, but it really is about how these devices, I'm looking around because there's several of them around me, have really changed our lives. So experiences. Those two brands are really great ones to rely on, and anyone could do a quick Google search and start to find some of those examples.
Yeah,
There's
that makes a lot
a
of sense.
great example too of that. I saw the video. Have you seen the video of Steve Jobs where he gets heckled during one of his product announcements? He's doing not heckled, but somebody comes at him with a pretty critical question about some specific about the Apple computer that was coming out at the time and how come it didn't use this certain code or this certain program. And it was like a really technical question. And his answer is exactly what you're saying. It was like, we could go into the technical details and what that is, but we focused first on the experience of the people and then go backwards from that. So that's where they stood out. They didn't focus in on that. They focused in on what it is doing for people, and that comes across in the story.
So, Lisa, you created a 6-step system to creating personas for schools, which we'll get into in a moment. But before we do that, is there anything that schools need to do beforehand to really prepare for the execution of this?
The first step is actually to take a step back and to think about why families are seeking your school in the first place. And you can do that in many ways. You can think about the questions that are asked throughout the admission process. That's one great tool. Another tool that we've used with schools that really has had wonderful outcomes is to have so sit down your leadership team and have everyone write a letter. It's a thank you letter from a family who is a few years out from attending your school. So they've moved on to their next level of education and they're writing a thank you letter back to you. In your position, say you're a director of development, director of marketing, head of school, what would you hope a family would write back to you? The outcomes of that exercise are really, I guess, beautiful is the best word I can think of. Really meaningful, emotional outcomes. Some things that have come up is that thank you understood my child, you got my child, you helped my child develop confidence in themselves and their abilities. You understood that my child learned differently and you made learning accessible to them. So a lot of these things we can then use as a basis for determining the personas we're going to develop, and then after that, the stories we're going to develop. So letter writing is a great tool for a school.
I love that.
I
That's
love that. I
great.
think we're going to use that for a administrative retreat this summer. That's a really good, it's a great idea.
It's a good one. A
So
tearjerker.
yeah, I bet. The 6 steps. So we wanted to go through now. You have, come up with 6 steps for how you can actually then identify your personas. So let's kick into that. And can you tell us what the first step is?
Yep, the first step is to make a list. And so this is kind of something I referred to in my last answer, but to make a list about why families are seeking your school. And again, you can refer back to kind of inquiries and so forth. But some things that come up when we make this list with schools is academic support, maybe unstable home life, kind of a student who needs more direct attention, a busy home life. Oftentimes, families feel like they're driving their child from here to there all day long after school, and it's just a lot of car time. Sometimes it's a student who needs more social and emotional support. It can be a child who had a really great public school experience for maybe some of those lower years, but middle school was feeling a little iffy, and so students or parents are looking for an alternative for their student. That list can go on, and it's also, it really depends on the school. And are we talking about a K through 12 day school? Or are we talking about a, junior boarding school? Or are we talking about a single gender upper school? So these answers are going to really be personal and unique to your school.
Okay, great. I love lists personally, but they can take a while, right? So I'm sure step one might take a while to really peel back all those layers and figure out those list of whys. So then what's next once you've come up with that?
So after you've created kind of that brain dump list is what we like to call that. Then we want to really start to create these fictional or semi-fictional characters. And the first step to doing that is to name them. So we want to make this persona feel real. And so to, you know, if we can name them and kind of envision this human, it really helps. So I'm going to use two examples throughout our conversation that we'll just keep referring back to. But a school hoping to attract really busy working parents, maybe we will name that persona Busy Beth, right? For that busy parent who's kind of here and there all the time. A school attempting to win over kind of a skeptical parent who's like not so sure why should I spend money on independent school when I spend money on taxes for public school. We could name that person Skeptical Sam. So Busy Beth and Skeptical Sam are going to be our two folks that we're going to talk about today.
I'm more of a busy Beth. What's your persona? What would you be?
Angie?
Me? Oh, me?
Yeah,
Probably more. I'm a little skeptical, but I'm also a busy Beth, no doubt. You know? I'm a skeptical busy
Where are
Beth.
you, Lisa? Where do you fall?
I'm definitely busy Beth.
Busy Beth?
Yeah, for sure.
It's good to think of
And I ended up
how you
sending my
fall.
child to a small boarding school,
There you go.
so for the
You
win. Yeah.
okay, so we have the name for that. So what then is step three?
Yep. So next, we want to kind of visualize the person a little deeper. We're not going to talk about demographic data, but instead we want to talk about kind of their needs and their motivations when it comes to choosing a school. So Busy Beth, she's going to be a highly motivated, successful person, but she's on a really tight timeline and she can't really keep up with getting her kids from here to there. Skeptical Sam, let's say that he attended traditional public schools his entire life, and he just doesn't understand why his child should not go to his neighborhood public school down the street. So Busy Beth, Skeptical Sam, kind of that's their thought motivation.
Okay,
Can,
that makes
before we
sense.
go on to step four, just a quick follow-up on that, because we've gone through this, and sometimes I think at that step it can be a little tricky because you have to generalize so much, right? So do you have any tips on a school when you're going through that to be like, not everybody is so cleanly fit into that, but like how do you generalize that into getting people into these groups?
I think that it's okay to generalize in this instance because after we get through all of these steps, we're actually going to identify current and past families that best match these personas. So if we can, sometimes it's okay to cheat a little bit and start thinking about the real life families as you're working on developing these fictional families. And that's a way where you can kind of drive your definitions of who they are a little bit. It's a little bit of a cheat, but it helps in the long run.
Makes it more real.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, great. So we've got our list, we've named them, we've described them. What's next?
Next is when we do want to apply some demographics, right? So this is raw data like their age, their family makeup, their income, where they live. So we're going to say that Busy Beth is an upper class married female in her mid-40s with three other children, in addition to a son that she already has, to the son that who she would enroll at the school, right? So I know it's getting granular. It's okay. It's actually kind of fun when you're doing this because you're actually creating fictional characters and it's like being a cartoon developer, in a way. Skeptical Sam, we're going to say that he's an upper middle class, self-made male with really strong work ethic and a kind of a hard work pays off mentality, right? So now we're sketching out these characters more deeply for step four.
I've seen sometimes where they do, in addition to that, they do like visuals. Do you do visuals with schools on that too to make it you can see them?
Yeah, that's a step you can go. In other areas of sectors of marketing, we've done that more so in healthcare and so forth. In independent school marketing, not so much because we know that eventually we're going to assign kind of real families to this. But in other places, it's kind of fun because you can create a mood board with found images. But that's kind of goes down a little bit of a rabbit hole that we don't necessarily use with independent schools, but it's fun.
Okay, so we have the list, we've named the list, we've described them, and we have their demographics. And now, so what are our final two steps in building our persona?
The final two steps are, I would say, are the most important steps, because we're going to talk about what their needs are, that's step five, and what their barriers are, that's step six. So understanding the goals and needs, it's important. And we do this regardless of whether or not we're working on persona-based marketing, but asking the questions, what are the problems that this person has, and how can our school solve these problems, right? Problems, challenges, are two words we can use interchangeably. So we're going to go back to our two folks. Busy Beth wants to set her child up to be as successful as she is, but she wants to give her child every advantage she can. But because of her work schedule, she's unsure that she's able to meet like her own personal demands that she's created for her parenting goals. Skeptical Sam, his needs are a little bit different because he might not even know that you exist. He might not even understand the concept of an independent school. So we know that Sam wants the very best for his kids, but Sam might not even know what that is quite yet. So those are needs for the two of them. Do you want me to jump right into step six?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So barriers are almost as important as needs when we're talking about enrollment marketing, right? So as we need to know why families are finding us and why families are finding us and deciding not to select us. So we want to think about what's keeping target families from choosing our school. So Busy Beth, she's strapped for time. She's committed to doing her research, right? But she's put off by schools that make this research hard for her. So for her, we're going to have to make sure that she immediately understands how this school fits her needs, right? So we can't beat around the bush with Busy Beth. Skeptical Sam, he doubts that he needs to spend tuition in general. And he needs to see kind of the examples between public school and this independent school, and maybe other independent schools to understand value. So we really want to focus on kind of the value of the cost when it comes to Skeptical Sam.
Okay, great. Those make sense. And so once you have these personas, how can a school actually use them to craft real stories?
So this is we're gonna make another list. So you said you love lists, so that's a good thing. So once we've developed the personas, now it's time to tell stories. What we don't want to do at this point is tell fictional stories, right? So we've created personas as a target, and our stories, we want to make sure that we're directing our stories to these targets. And the way we do this is we talk to the people who are our very best brand ambassadors, and those are the people who already know and love you. So those are current families and past families, and we can start to think, well, oh, you know, the Stewart family, they kind of that mom reminds me a little bit of Busy Beth, and they ended up really enjoying this aspect of our school, right? So now we're going to make another list, and we're going to start identifying who can tell the story that's going to resonate with that target persona. What we found is that once we identify families, to have interviews with both the parent and the student is so such a it gives you an exceptional perspective because we're getting both voices. When we combine all of that into the story, now we're making sure that we're hitting the whole family.
Oh, I love that. I actually have a question. How are you disseminating these stories? Is it website, view books, email, where video? Where are you packaging these up and presenting them to your personas?
That's a great question. So the story itself, the beauty of storytelling is that it can be communicated on any medium, right? And what we want to do is take the language and we want to take photo and video and we want to combine those because that's, this could be a whole nother podcast, but that's where we, that's emotional marketing. So when we combine those two things. And so schools, you can have these stories come through in your admissions materials like U books. You can have little mini stories come through in social media or paid digital marketing. They can be on your website, they can be in videos. It's really endless and timeless. And that's kind of the beauty of storytelling is that it can be used on any medium.
And I'm just thinking of this now through, marketing at a school where everything is always busy, and it could sound like a lot. It could sound like a lot to go through. So I wonder if you have any words of inspiration, words of hope for a school, or just a school you've worked with. You don't have to name any schools, but a school that went from one place to another through doing this. Like, do you have any examples of a school that's gone through this and where it got them to?
Absolutely. I think this is, it's not just one school, but for many schools, this process creates kind of this, it creates teamwork and kind of goodwill within your community. So from a teamwork perspective, if you, I wouldn't say that a one communication director or one admission director should work on this in isolation. This is absolutely kind of a team sport. To create these lists and do this brainstorming. And I've found that when leadership teams get together to work on this, there's this camaraderie that develops that is really quite important. And these stories aren't just, I know I keep talking about enrollment marketing, but these stories can be used like for the big A advancement. So we can use these stories for annual fund campaigns, for capital campaigns, for alumni engagement. So there are storytelling can be used across the board. And not just the stories themselves, but just when we made that list, when we're identifying those kind of but those families that best align with the persona characters, that's another place to think, well, oh, well, that family could maybe tell a story in another part of your marketing makeup for the school. So that's been great. And then just the family involvement. Parents are delighted when you ask them to talk about their child's experience. And kids with the students, I actually oftentimes, the person who a school asks to talk to the families, kind of the outside perspective, they tend to talk more when it's somebody not within the school. And just sitting and talking with kids about their experience, having them brainstorm their own photo shoot, that kind of inclusivity is really powerful for a school. It's kind of a side outcome of this process.
Lisa, thank you so much. That those steps, the storytelling all the way through, I think is so helpful for schools to work through. And so if people want to learn more and from you and see more of what you've done, where can they find you?
Our agency is SquareSpot Design, and you can find us at our website, squarespotdesign.com.
Well, thank you so much again for joining us, Lisa. This has been a lot of fun, and you provided such valuable information. So thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you so much again to Lisa for joining us today. Definitely check out SquareSpot. They are making incredible designs across all different industries. And I really, really liked today the idea that persona-based storytelling can be used in different areas of a school. Because for me, that's something that when time is short, like that's something that is a great thing for a school to be able to say. This isn't just an admissions thing. This is something that can be used across the board. So that was really great information. That I think a lot of schools can use and can put to use right away.
Yeah, so many great tips in there. I love that conversation. Reminder to our listeners or viewers as well that we have a link to that worksheet so they can get started on their own. If you check out upgradeschoolmarketing.com, we'll have it there. And every episode, we like to call out a school who's doing a great job in the realm of marketing. And so who's our A plus for this episode, Matt?
Yeah, so today we have Holderness Academy, and Holderness put together a video that I think is a great A plus shout out, not only in general, just as a great video, but it's great in the talk that we're having today about personas. They made a welcome video that outlines how new students are welcome to the school, and they show this really great, exciting, all the students lining the road. The video is great, but it also is done through the point of view of a student telling their story of how they felt welcome. So I think they do a really, really great job of helping you feel the energy and the community that's there. And then you get to hear a student tell it in their own words of how that felt to be a part of that. So A plus to Holderness, amazing video. We'll link that video in the show notes of this podcast, but amazing work. And you can follow them at Holderness Today on Instagram.
Great. Well, thank you so much for listening, everyone. Find us on upgradeschoolmarketing.com or check us out on LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you.